Today we're in session four, and we're going to consider the things which shall be hereafter, part two, covering Revelation chapter 8 through 12. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We pray that you will give us wisdom and understanding as we go through these passages, and we just pray that you will help us to gain from these from the scripture, the things that we need to live more godly in Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Beginning in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour." We see what transpires in heaven has a direct impact, initiating events on the earth. We also see that as we go through the next two recorded judgments, that they touch on very similar areas and will increase in intensity from the trumpet judgments to the bowl judgments. This silence from God is really the calm before the storm of judgment upon the earth. Verse 2 tells us, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake." We see that verse 2 tells us that there were seven angels with seven trumpets. And as you look through the scriptures, trumpets are used in a variety of ways for announcing maybe special events. They were used for announcing certain warnings. Even one of the scriptures in the Old Testament talks about if the sound of a trumpet is heard and you don't understand the trumpet, then you don't know how to respond. So they're very indicative of communication regarding particular events for the people, especially the people of Israel. As we look at verse 3 and read that another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and that he had been given much incense that had been mixed with the prayers of the saints, and he threw it down to earth. In verse 4, we read, "The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer," and remember, he cast it down to earth. The angel cast fire from the heavenly altar of incense. Judgment is about to begin, announced by signs of nature. And we see that in the voices, the thunders and the lightnings and an earthquake. A storm is on the way. God is about to act. Verse 6, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail, fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up." We have come to the middle of the tribulation, and the trumpets are beginning to sound. Hail, fire, and fire mixed with blood is cast to earth, resulting in a third of the trees and all green grass burnt up. These are all areas which man gets most of his food, in effect the forest, fruit trees, and farmland. In verse 8, we read, "And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood." Verse 9, "And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." Again, we see this a reduction in the area of food supply for man by one-third. This one also hits commerce in that one-third of the ships were destroyed. We get much of our resources, too, from the ocean, and so this is a real dramatic cutback in the resources of man, especially in the areas of food. And the third angel sounded, verse 10, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now we see God in this trumpet, the third trumpet, exercising his judgment upon a third of the fresh water supplies. The waters became so bitter that many people died, and thus the population reduction is once again put into effect. We are not told how many people died, but again, we're lower than a third of the population at this point now. And we've gone down a third, so we're at about 6 billion people, less than that. And the fourth angel sounded, verse 12, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other three voices of the trumpets, of the three angels which are yet to be sounded. We see a dramatic effect again on the food sources, but the judgment is upon our light sources. And the light sources of light are affected by about a third. This would have an effect on everything from growth of plants to the mental condition of mankind. Think of what happens when we have overcast skies for a long time, or when we get into winter where we have less light than we've had in the summer. Levy from Israel My Glory says, this judgment will greatly affect agricultural production, animal life, and mankind's physical, sociological, and social health. All of these were done in thirds to announce to the world that God is judging them and to allow the people time to repent and turn to Him. As we now go to chapter 9 and look at the fifth angel, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. As we look at this fifth angel, it talks about a star from heaven unto the earth. A star falls to earth. And stars are sometimes tied to angels, as in this case, since he's given a key. And we really don't know the identity of this angel. Some have interpreted him as Satan, but we can't be certain. And this bottomless pit is really the same place demons were sent to. I believe if you'll look it up too, you'll find that the fallen angels of Genesis 6 are actually kept there as well. But the bottomless pit is like a prison for the spirits. And he opened the bottomless pit, it said in verse 2, and scholars are divided as to whether the angel is an angel or a specific messenger from God, a fallen angel, or Satan himself. Textual evidence seems to indicate that this is an angel sent from God to release demonic beings from the bottomless pit to punish unbelievers on the earth. Throughout Revelation, smoke is associated with judgment, doom, and torment. If you'll remember, there was a plague of locusts in Egypt. These locusts were not your typical locusts here, though, however. They were given power like a scorpion to inflict pain on people. A scorpion sting does not necessarily kill, but is very painful. I do not see any reason to try and make this a figurative idiom and change it into some other meaning. Verse 4 says it was commanded for them not to hurt the grass or anything but those who did not have the mark. Just people. Those who did not have the mark of the beast. So those locusts were not allowed to harm the 144,000. It's also good to note that the normal lifespan for a locust is around 5 months. So these locusts will torment people of the earth during this time. And the torment was so severe that people wanted to die. Verse 6, I am sure from this verse that many will try to commit suicide, but it will always fail. Today we have people who attempt this when they are going through what seems to them to be serious trials. Now imagine when there are creatures that go around inflicting pain upon a person. The desire to end one's life will be intense and even to the point of driving people mad. It describes to us the locusts in verses 7 through 10. And we read different comments like, in verse 7, many commentators on the locust state that it is a feature that resembles the horse. And here they are like horses prepared for battle. I'd encourage you to look on the internet for locusts and their different characteristics, and I think you'll agree with some of them, as I did, that some of these characteristics are not far off. Their hair, as women's hair, and teeth, were as lion's teeth. There are some locusts that definitely look like they have teeth, believe me. They were dressed as warriors with breastplates of iron. They will be noisy as they travel, as they make their movement, as the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. This is indicative of the loudness of locusts as they travel even on the ground or even in the air. It says in verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek is Apollyon. This brings us to the conclusion of the fifth trumpet and the first woe. Most scholars identify Abaddon or Apollyon as Satan, but a case could be made for an unnamed demonic angel who is in charge of the bottomless pit. Thus, he would be a subordinate to Satan himself. In verse 13 of chapter 9, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and they that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued forth fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three were the third part of man killed. And by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols, and of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. What an amazing story. We see the reduction of the earth going down to less than half, with a third of mankind killed under this trumpet. And yet, despite all of that, all that they've seen, all that they've been through, mankind still refuses to bow the knee to God. They neither repent, nor they come to Him. They still hang on to their false ways. As we turn now to chapter 10, we hear that another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more. It's interesting as we look at this that God has again ramped up the judgments. And there's going to be another set of seven judgments called the seven thunders. John understood them as we look at this verse 4, and he says, I was about to write, so obviously understood what the seven thunders had uttered, but he was told not to release the information, not to write it down, to seal it up. And so we are left to wonder what kind of judgments those were. But the angel standing on the sea and on the land, in verse 7, gives us more information. He says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophet. So we see a finality in God's judgment announced right in this chapter here. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And there was given me, chapter 11, verse 1, a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, 3.5 years. Here we see that John is told to go and measure the temple. Well, today there is no temple. And it's very revealing then that in the first half of the tribulation, no doubt, the temple will be rebuilt. And so we can see that while it is rebuilt, it is also under the rule or under a certain amount of Gentile authority. For he is not to measure the court which is without the temple. Then he says in verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Here we have God's messengers that are coming to the temple. Their ministry will last 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. So it's 3.5 years, the first half of the tribulation. The two witnesses, they are actually guardians of the temple. But we cannot be fully certain as to when that ministry will start. But it sure seems that as the Antichrist becomes more powerful, what we'll see as we move on in the death of these two witnesses will most likely fit the midpoint of the tribulation period. It tells us these, in verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. It's interesting as we look at Zechariah 4:1-14, we find there the two olive trees and we find a lampstand or a candlestick. Wiersbe makes a note saying, instead of relating the ministry of the witnesses to Moses and Elijah, the angel who spoke to John connected their ministry with Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. These two men helped to reestablish Israel in Palestine and to rebuild the temple. And we see here the temple, and this is something that Israel today is looking forward to. Israel greatly desires the temple to be rebuilt. And I have a thought, it's my opinion, that one of the key things that will really help the Antichrist to make that covenant with Israel will be the promise of rebuilding the temple and initiating once again their sacrificial system. I know that as we look at Scripture, the two witnesses is often questioned as to what is their identity, who are they? And while we can't say for certain, I have a theory myself. I believe as you read through Scripture, you'll find that there's only two men who have not died a natural death throughout the Scriptures. One was Enoch, who it said lived 365 days, and he was not because God took him. He did not pass away. God translated him to heaven. The other fellow was Elijah, who was taken up in a fiery chariot. Now, we still can't say for certain if these are the two men, but according to Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. So I have a feeling that these two, if any people would have the most likely, they'd be the most likely to be the candidates for that. But let's look on at what their ministry will be. It says in verse 6, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. This verse here is often the verse that is used to say, well, it sure seems to indicate Moses is one of those. But our God is the God that gave Moses his powers, and so it's nothing for him to give another minister that he sends the same powers as Moses. Verse 7, Revelation 11:7. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. So eventually the Antichrist will indeed kill the two witnesses. And their bodies shall lie in the streets, in the street of the great city, which spiritually is Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Only one identity fits there, the city of Jerusalem. And they of the people, and kindreds, and tongues, and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Interesting that the whole world will see them. And now we know how that's possible. As we look at satellites, as we look at how we can view events around the world, just from our phone or from our computer. 11:11 says, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And that same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. It's amazing as we look at this, it doesn't tell us that they became believers, but these are most likely Jewish people that experienced the tragedy here with the earthquake, and maybe this was the start of the revival in the nation of Israel. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear Thy name, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. You see the increased intensity as we look at the heavenly scene, as we see the temple of God opened in heaven. And what an awesome picture that is God's final judgments are about to be exacted upon the earth. Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. It's interesting as we look at this woman that the symbolism for the EU does happen to be a woman at times with 12 stars. There's actually 12 gold stars on their flag on a background of blue. But it's interesting that they also use the symbolism of the woman with the 12 stars around her head. It appears to me that Satan is attempting to use this analogy to make the woman the revived Roman Empire and its leader, the Antichrist, the child that would rule with a rod of iron. Further, Satan wants to appear that God is the dragon here and will attempt to destroy the EU and the Antichrist. This, of course, is my view, but Satan is a great liar and will do anything to try and deceive mankind. For as we read on in this chapter, we'll see the imagery a little bit better. And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the 1/3 part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Really, as we look at this particular reading, only one person in all of the history of, especially of the Bible, but indeed the world, fits this description. She brought forth a man-child that would rule the nations. We know that to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see this particular portion has brought us up to where Christ is in heaven today. He's standing at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting for the time when Israel will again embrace him. And so it goes on in verse 6 and says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This is indicative of the fact that at the midpoint of the tribulation, something is going to happen that Israel, especially those believers, will have to flee. The Antichrist will come. We believe that he will do the abomination of desecration again in the temple. He will possibly elevate himself as God. But as we look at this, we realize that the woman will have to flee. The nation of Israel will have to flee. And it says that she has a place prepared of God. He will keep the remnant. And at this time, I believe, is when there was war in heaven, verse 7. There will be, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more for them, any more in heaven. You see, the great dragon, Satan, can go before the throne of God. Remember Job? He appeared before God to accuse Job. He is the accuser of the brethren. And one day he will not have access anymore to heaven. And the great dragon in verse 9 was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they were loved, and they loved not their lives unto death. Speaking of the believers that had to confront the Antichrist, they were overcome. They were overcome physically by the Antichrist, but they overcame the devil because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives unto death, and they stayed faithful unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. You see, Satan knows the word of God. He knows what the end game is. He just doesn't want to believe it. He wants to believe he has a chance. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent, 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, there are those commentators that say, well, the world could never do that in verse 16. Never swallow up something that Satan is using against the nation of Israel. But remember when Korah, when he decided to go against God, remember him and his band when he stood before Moses and said, Moses, you take your leadership upon you? And what happened? The judgment was the earth opened up and they fell straight into hell. God is not limited by our thoughts and by the limitations we put on him. As we look at this whole chapter, we realize that God is in control. He indeed is on the throne. And we know then that he will enact his plan in his time and in his own way. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. We pray that you will encourage our hearts through your word as we look to understand the book of Revelation, as we see all that you have for us. We just thank and praise you that we certainly don't need to be afraid of getting into this book and seeing what it has, that we might apply to our lives, that we may grow closer to you and walk in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen.